Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. In a second, I'm going to be joined by Alex Regla. He does his own Substack. He used to work with me over at Silver Screen and Roll. We kind of technically still work together over there, though we don't really podcast together too much over there. He's going to be coming on the show a little bit more often moving forward. He's going to be one of the voices that I want to get more people acquainted with, especially this season. I just think he does really good work. So that is going to be today's guest. Segment one, we are going to start with some data that he and I have been compiling about the way that Anthony Davis is playing, and pick up on the conversation that Pete and I started yesterday. Well, I started it a couple days ago, and then we picked it up yesterday, and then we're going to, you know, the trends are continuing here for AD, so we're going to take a look at that. In the second segment, we are going to look at just in general how kind of difficult it has been to properly analyze this team given the way that they have approached the season to this point. That doesn't mean it's impossible. It's just been made a little bit more difficult, especially from a mathematical standpoint. And then in the third segment, we discuss some things because, you know, the Lakers won, and overall it's, you know, we keep it light on this show, and today's no exception because the Lakers won, albeit not exactly an inspiring performance, but they beat the Memphis Grizzlies 94-92. But we, in the third segment, discuss our pleasant surprises to this point in the season. So enjoy this one, and again, get ready to start hearing Alex on the show a little bit more often. I just really enjoy his work, and I want to offer my platform to people whose work I really enjoy. Enjoy this one. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. All right, we're joined now by Alex Regla of his own Substack, throwdowns.substack.com. We used to write together at Silver Screen and Roll. He's been on the show, I believe, once or twice. Not often enough. You guys should probably get used to this combination. I'm going to have him on as often as he can possibly, as often as I can possibly have him on here. Alex, how are you? How are you enjoying the season so far?
It's been interesting, for sure. We talked a little off air about what we're seeing so far, but yeah, it's fun. There's a lot of blown leads. There's a lot of crazy scores. I'm watching the Clippers come back against the Spurs as we talk. But yeah, it's been fun.
I think I saw a stat heading into tonight's games that roughly 25% of the finals thus far have been separated by at least 20 points.
Wow.
That's pretty bananas.
It's wild for sure.
it's like as soon as a team gets down by 10 points, they have like two or three possessions to figure out, all right, are we actually going to try and crawl back into this one, or are we just going to call it a night and see how things go with the next one? So Alex, you provide, well, for one thing, really good coverage. By the way, if you guys want to follow him, he's at Alex M. Regla on Twitter, and he's done a fantastic job kind of managing his own coverage of the team. I'm blown away at the way you've covered the team. And I've been interested, you've been kind of tracking a couple trends and in watching and paying attention to your timeline in tonight's game, especially. Seems you and I are tracking a pretty similar trend here with Anthony Davis and the way that he's playing on offense. One of the things, and this was at the time, it might have changed because he shot a couple free throws down the stretch of the game, but he's only shooting 4.5 free throws a game this season, compared to he basically tracked at 8 or higher for most of his career. And, you know, that coincides with him dunking the ball about half as often as he has this year. And yeah, you know, you've been paying close attention to shots in the paint or shots either in the paint or in the restricted area. And I'm just kind of curious, like Pete and I talked yesterday, is this an evolution of his game or is he just kind of pacing himself based on what you've been watching? What's your read of that situation?
It's tough. It's been maybe the trend I've been following the most so far, just because it's been the only consistent in like a inconsistent season. Yeah. Uh-huh. I think there's several factors. Like tonight, for example, he only had two attempts at the rim. And the last game, he had one attempt. So there's progress, at least. But
if he was here, he'd be like, guys, that's twice as much. What are you talking about? This is great.
That's data for you. So that explains the lack of free throw attempts, maybe. And maybe why at times we feel he's not aggressive out there. It doesn't look like it. If he's shooting jump shots, a player usually doesn't visually look aggressive, right? If they're shooting mid-range jumpers all game. The only issue is he's making everything right now from everywhere.
Yeah. It's hard to really criticize when he's turned into, it's kind of funny. Think about how talented you have to be to say, all right, I'm going to start playing like Danilo Gallinari and then be as good, if not better than Danilo Gallinari at Danilo Gallinari stuff. It's wild.
It's like, I can do that, but also be AD at the same time and block everything and get steals. And it's a luxury for sure.
Mm-hmm. Where Pete and I kind of arrived in yesterday's show was, this feels like kind of a concerted effort to A, kind of load manage during the game. I think that's his top priority, given the short offseason, but then also evolve and become potentially more productive, maybe less productive individually, but more productive as a teammate and as a facilitator and stuff like that. And, you know, I think if that is a shift that he's making, it takes a little while to find that balance, but I'm kind of curious, do you agree with the premise that this is something that, you know, this is just going to be a version, maybe he'll become more aggressive as the season goes along, but this is kind of this new version of Anthony Davis.
Yeah. It's tough to predict, like, if this is just who he is now. Like the bubble, everything that happened in the bubble in terms of his development as a jump shooter was pretty stark. Like, I know people were like, oh yeah, AD has always had this. It wasn't to that level in terms of efficiency in the bubble.
Yeah.
And that's just carried over into this season. So it does kind of feel like, oh, that's just who he is now. He can make these shots when he wants. But I think you and Pete brought up a good point about maybe this is him either deferring to new teammates, trying to get them involved, trying to develop as a passer. Like Frank Vogel yesterday, pregame and after the game, really praised AD for his passing at a double team specifically. Him making extra passes that didn't result in assists. Mm-hmm. I thought that was actually true. If you go back and watch the tape, he should have had like five or six assists in their previous game, but it was only one. So he is growing as a passer, and that's pretty evident in the film and even like in data in terms of like his assists and stuff. But it's tough to say if this is just who he is now or if it's him trying to preserve his body, because LeBron is also taking a similar approach. Like both LeBron and AD took a ton of jumpers tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So it is tough to just kind of figure out, is this just a method of getting through the season unhurt and just preserving that body from the long haul?
Yeah, I mean, if that is the case, it really makes sense. You know, these are uncharted waters for the Lakers or for any professional basketball team, coming back from winning a championship as quickly as they have. And given how important LeBron and AD are to the success of this team, you can understand why the Lakers would get behind them kind of tweaking their game early on the season. One of the kind of trends, and one of the, I wouldn't go so far as to, well, I guess I could call it a concern, is that because of how different it is, it makes it kind of difficult to understand what the data is actually saying and really kind of understand where you are as a team and where you are as a player. So after the break, after we're going to take a quick second here, when we come back, I want to talk to Alex about one of these, the notion that because of the way LeBron, because of the way Anthony Davis, and because of the way the Lakers in general are approaching the season, where they basically sit there in first or second gear for most of the game and then jump up to fifth or sixth just long enough to take a lead and then hopefully coast the rest of the way and kind of tread water, because of the giant kind of chasm between how they look when they're trying, when they don't, what does that mean for somebody who's trying to evaluate the team? So we're going to get to that here in a bit. All right. Today's show is brought to you in part by Bet Online. Head on over to betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% deposit on your initial deposit and deposit bonus, that is, on your initial deposit. Today's game of the day, you have the Miami Heat giving up 2.5 points to the Boston Celtics. Essentially, they're saying that Miami is half a point worse than Boston. Boston's defense has been kind of a mess this year, been pretty inconsistent, and as a result, I'm looking at Miami in this one. Now, I have been pretty brutal this year, so if you are taking my advice, sorry. If you're fading me, congratulations, you've done pretty well. So I still feel pretty good about Miami being able to cover 2.5 points at home against Boston, given how Boston's season has gone so far this year. But you never know, it's still super early in this season, and it's just impossible to gauge these things right now. Again, though, if you're going to follow or fade my advice, or you're looking for other things to bet, we have the NFL playoffs coming on. You have the NCAA National Championship coming up. BetOnline.ag is the best place to do this. And if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you will get a 50% deposit bonus. One more time, that is promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag, the best place to bet online. Now, to be absolutely clear, the Lakers are sitting right now at 5-2 or 6-2. As we're talking right now, the Clippers are in action. So depending on how that goes, the Lakers could finish the night as the lone holders of the best record in the Western Conference. The fact that they can do that while kind of sleepwalking, they also have, I believe, the second highest just raw point differential in the NBA, just behind the Milwaukee Bucks. And yeah, I mean, they've done this largely kind of sleepwalking. So I want to be clear in that, like, I'm not sitting here saying that the sky is falling. It's just that one of the goals for every team in the NBA right now is like trying to figure out what combinations you have, what you're trying to learn about your team. And Alex, do you share the concern that, like, because of the way that they're playing with such giant shifts between gears, that it becomes difficult to actually analyze the data that they're basically consuming or piling up right now?
No, for sure. And I think there's a ton of factors that go into that. Like, when I watch or when I try to analyze the team, like, individually, specifically, I focus on what they're doing and then kind of have to stand back and figure out, well, what was the other team doing? Who was playing? Mm-hmm. What were the variables? Like, they played the Spurs, they beat them twice. Aldridge didn't play. So that might impact how the bigs performed or not performed, how their guards performed with no Caruso, no KCP. And in this game, no Ja Morant, no Jaren Jackson Jr. So there's always like different variables in play you have to kind of keep in mind. But yeah, when you have such a small sample and you can literally blow out a team by 15, your point differential is going to jump up, obviously, mm-hmm. right? So it is tough to kind of gauge what's real and what's not. The only advantage as a Lakers fan is, you know, LeBron and AD, this is what they are. They're good at basketball. So like that's at least cemented. But watching the new guys, it has been interesting to see what combinations work. And I'm interested, what have you seen in terms of that end? What has kind of piqued your interest in what's real or what's maybe an issue or what, like, just what has interested you in that sense?
Well, I mean, so one of the trends that we've noticed, especially on this road trip, was that the starters will jump out to a bit of a lead, and then you'll see the first group of subs happen, and then there goes the lead, right? And either they cough it up all the way, or it's cut in half, or sometimes they find themselves in a bit of a deficit. And, you know, you and I were talking before the show, and this can be traced to a pretty... This one could be narrowed down pretty easily, right? To who's leaving the court and consistently which combination of players isn't working as well. And, you know, we've talked about Anthony Davis and the way that he's playing. And I think when a star is out there and they are playing a little bit more passively, that's going to trickle down to everybody on the team. And that's, I think, why we're seeing that. So when LeBron, what's the stats? it's pretty stark, right? The difference between when LeBron is on the court with AD versus when he isn't.
Yeah, so like usually LeBron leaves around like the 5 minute mark or so, right? Like that first stagger, mm-hmm. and AD's out there with Schroeder and Kuz or whoever. But yeah, when it's just AD and those lineups with no LeBron, the Lakers are a negative 14 and have a defensive rating of 121.3.
That's, and again, this is somebody who is widely considered the best defensive player in the NBA. You know, it just kind of comes back to what is going on the court. We talked about offensively what's going on there and how he's load managing on offense, and he can get away with load managing on offense because of how well he's shooting the ball. But it becomes kind of difficult to load manage on defense when you're expected to be the best defensive player in the NBA.
Absolutely. And I think it does matter who he's sharing the court with. I think he's still learning how to play with Gasol in terms of defense, also with Harrell in that regard too. Like the Harrell Davis numbers aren't good defensively, but I think that was almost expected in terms of early on. It's a learning process. But I don't know if you noticed this, but I think he's trying to find that balance of having to play the four offensively, but also defensively when he's guarding the perimeter. He kind of is taken away from the paint or coming over on the help side and getting those blocks and stuff. He's doing that better the last couple of games, but I'm not sure if you've noticed that as well.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's been, I mean, you think about putting people in their best places to succeed, and Anthony Davis is this like super pterodactyl who is capable of contesting anything, staying under control, tipping rebounds and stuff like that. Like all of the things he's really, really good at take place around the rim. He's capable, obviously. He's more capable than most fives on the perimeter. But at the end of the day, like if he's going to be the impactful defender that we all know him to be, it's going to be generally around the rim. And I think, like, you know, so last year with JaVale and with Dwight, he understood exactly the kind of defender, especially by the end of the season, he kind of understood exactly the kind of defender that JaVale was, for example. So JaVale is going to jump out of his shoes to block a shot. And therefore there's going to be more room for AD to sweep in there and either contest the shot after the pump fake or grab a rebound, whatever. Dwight Howard is a lot more solid as a defender, but still, generally speaking, he's going to be out there challenging shots up at the top. And that's going to leave a little bit bigger space for AD to, again, swoop in there and clean up whatever has to be cleaned up. Gasol is a positional defender. And so when AD goes to swoop in there, there's still a giant, you know, I call him, I think he looks like Mike Sullivan from Monsters, Inc. So like Sully is sitting right there in the key still, even after having contested in the way that Marc Gasol does. And I think that's really kind of thrown AD off. And look, it's got to be kind of daunting to try to jump into the key and grab a rebound when you see so many legs and ankles and arms all tied up in there.
I think that's been like the biggest takeaway from Marc Gasol so far is how much space he takes up. Like I get it now, like for Toronto fans to say like, you don't notice his impact on a box score, but defensively, he just consumes so much of the paint with his body.
Yeah,
that if you just run into him and he puts his arms up, that like he is a positional defender in the sense that he just takes up all this space and you're going to run into him. But for a guy like Gasol, a guy like AD, like you mentioned, that's a totally different type of front court partner than a McGee and Howard. Those guys are huge, but they're huge as in terms of lanky. They're long. Mm-hmm. They're athletic. They can rim protect in a different way that Gasol just doesn't do.
And they're capable of jumping out of the key. Like, I don't think Marc Gasol is capable of jumping across the key.
That's an issue. And I think I kind of overlooked that up until this conversation we're having right now. That must be hard for AD in terms of not even on offense. Like, that's another issue. But in terms of defensively, he has to learn where to be on the court when this guy who does take up all this space and can't, he is doing a better job on the perimeter, Marc Gasol, than I expected in terms of how he defends the pick and roll. But he's in most times either in that drop coverage or in the dunker spot. And for a guy like AD to try to come over and help there, like that does risk his body in terms of the number of people in the interior, because Gasol's not really spacing out as much as I thought he would.
No. Yeah, it's funny. Every time he sets a screen, I kind of wonder how many players just want to, because he looks like he gives good hugs, right? Marc Gasol does.
Yeah.
Like, when he sets a screen, I'd be tempted to just like give him a hug, because I'm not getting around the screen. I'm going to die on this thing anyway, so I may as well get a little snuggle out of it. But yeah, I think the Gasol AD combination is tough. And then you look at somebody like Harrell, who in theory, at least, you know, athletically is built more similarly to Dwight and JaVale, just in terms of his raw athletic ability. But he's not nearly the defender, especially that Dwight is mentally. So it becomes hard to predict where Harrell is going to be on any given play. And that's, you know, that type of the number of misunderstandings that they're having together. I think that's really where the numbers we're always going to kind of suffer with that combination. But I think even there, even given the low expectations, I'd say they've met the low expectations thus far. I don't know if you had higher expectations for those guys, but generally speaking, it was always that was always going to be the number one question as far as, can the Lakers close with those guys out there on the court together?
Yeah.
Well, what kind of defense are they going to play?
I think they've also kind of been inversed in terms of the roles. Like when Harrell and AD are on the floor, I would just switch. Like, but obviously AD doesn't want to guard the center like eight games into the regular season, or even like game 50 of the regular season. So I don't think that was ever going to be realistic, and Harrell was going to end up guarding centers. But that does kind of put Harrell in his natural disadvantage in terms of his size.
Yeah.
In terms of also impacting AD, because if AD is guarding a four and he's popping or he's stretching to the corner, Harrell then is stuck in that dunker spot, or he's stuck in the middle of the plate and drop coverage when you have a guy like Nurkic or Valanciunas coming at you. And that's just overpowers Harrell in a way. So that has been interesting in terms of how Vogel has utilized that front court. And you can easily like flip him.
Yeah.
And I think it would work a little easier and a little like smoother.
Yeah. It's such a simple fix that it makes me think it's a concerted thing to save AD. You know, if you and I and Lakers Twitter are thinking about it, especially I am thinking about it, I can guarantee you Vogel has probably thought that as well. Let's take one more second here. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, some stuff that we're seeing across the rest of the roster, pick up a little bit on this conversation about just overall the way that the Lakers can be evaluated right now based on what we've seen, and then anything else that we get to. Today's show is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Head on over to rockauto.com, where you will visit a family business that has been doing this for over two decades now, and you are going to find the best collection of parts that you can possibly find on the internet. It is getting insane. The more high-tech these cars get, the more difficult it is to find the proper part, and that makes it all the easier for the big companies to mark up all of the parts that you might need should anything go wrong with your car. Well, rockauto.com is here to help you avoid all of those kinds of messes as best you can. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil. Your car needs carpet? They have that too. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specs, and prices you prefer. And most importantly, the prices you see are going to be the same for everybody, regardless of your driving background. So again, head on over to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck, and then write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, we're back here with Alex Regla. Again, check him out on Twitter at Alex M. Regla. Alex, has anybody like pleasantly surprised you? I mean, the Lakers just won a game, so and we talked about, you know, the lower energy and all of this stuff. Granted, they beat Memphis without John Morant and without Jaren Jackson Jr. by 2 points. And so I'm just kind of curious. So like across the roster or to this point in the season, the Lakers still have been basically as successful as you could have asked for, or we could have asked for. So beyond AD and LeBron just being really effing good at basketball, is there anything that just kind of jumps out at you and says, oh, I wasn't anticipating this?
I think it's Dennis Schroeder, but his defense and not his offense.
Yeah.
That has definitely been the surprise for me. Like he's struggled a bit the last couple of games in terms of his efficiency. He was super good, like in every game before that in terms of his numbers, but his defense, like he fights out there, he picks up full court. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised how much he's like in this Avery Bradley type role, like yeah. in terms of how he guarded Luka, in terms of how he guarded Kawhi, picking up full court. He's done well against bigger players. I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
He struggles at times, like his decision-making's pretty bad still. Like he mm-hmm. has some boneheaded turnovers out there. But overall, like I've been surprised and kind of impressed with him in the starting lineup. I wasn't a huge fan of him in the starting lineup when it was announced, but I think he's kind of won me over in terms of him being there.
I'm kind of curious. Like I did the show Silver Screen with Harrison yesterday, and we spent way too much time talking about whether or not Vogel would tinker with the starting lineup. I would just like to see it. Like the analogy I used, I make a pretty good old fashioned just on any given night, right? Tonight I felt like tinkering it with it a little bit, and I made it with, I meddled some blood orange in there, and it turned out pretty good. Not so good that I think I'm going to stick with it because it's not worth the extra work, but still now I know that the extra work isn't really worth the difference here. And you know, with the Lakers starting lineup, I'd like for Vogel to see, all right, what does it look like if KCP starts in Schroeder's spot and you move Schroeder to be a primary creator that the bench unit still, quite frankly, really needs? Do you anticipate a move like that? And if it did happen, could you see that being any better than we've seen the Lakers perform thus far?
Well, I would kind of go back and ask you a similar question. If is Schroeder the guy, like he seems like the most fragile if yeah. you were to make that type of move in mm-hmm. terms of they're working on an extension. He's already said he doesn't really want to come off the bench. Like that does seem kind of, I get what you're saying. And I kind of do also just in terms of like you said, a data collection, 2K. Film collection, but just to see if it works or what combinations mm-hmm. work or how things work. But in terms of like personalities, stuff like that. And I think Frank Vogel is really underrated in that sense in yeah. terms of how he's handled rotations and everything. And there's been no issues, but he's the one guy where I think there could be a potential issue if he's like, hey, we're just going to give KCP and Kuzma a run in the starting lineup and you're going to mm-hmm. come off the bench for five games. Like, do you think that would be an issue?
Issue, I think, might be a little strong. If they ever do get the extension, I would hope like the very next game. Here's a bunch of money. Just let us try this out. But yeah, I could see the important way or the important factor here would be how it's sold to them. It's basically, hey, we know, and this is going to be something that we're mostly going to stick with, you know, you being, this was one of the things that we reportedly taught, you know, I'm kind of hard to say reportedly in a conversation that I'm theoretically in or hypothetically in, but we know that we had this conversation with your agent and you guys wanted you starting with this team, having played, come off the bench last year. And you're talented enough to come out to start on every NBA team. Basically we just, the whole point of this season and the way also, by the way, that the Lakers approach the regular season, they do tinker with this. They do kind of figure out what they need to figure out before the playoffs so that they don't waste the season. Think, you know, like the Bucks to me are like the nth degree example of a team that kind of wastes the regular season on, you know, just kind of sharpening the same blade when come playoff time, you need multiple pitches at your disposal. The Lakers do kind of say, all right, we know what this looks like. Let's go ahead and work on our slider. All right, we know what the slider looks like. Let's work on our change. And if I was talking to Schroeder and I was trying to sell it to him, I'd be like, hey, we know what it looks like when you start, and we know we're very good when you start. We're sitting here at 6-2, you know, and I'm sure 10 games in, they'll probably be about 8-2 or 7-3 at worst. And this is something that we feel like we want to take a look at. And depending on how he handles it, by the way, like that's one of the things you can kind of keep in the back of your mind. Sure. If and when you're working on that extension.
It's a good point. That's actually a really good point. Like that could be a red flag, right? If that could be an issue, or not an issue, but just something to be aware of in terms of how he adjusts or how he takes that kind of change in his spot or yeah. his minutes or position or utilization or anything like that. That is good to know. And you go back to the playoffs, and there are so many games where the starting lineup changed for the Lakers, yeah. right? There were some series where a guy like JaVale just didn't play.
Yeah.
There could be a series where
starts in game six, the biggest game yeah. of the season, and Caruso finds himself in the starting lineup.
This is something that could happen in the playoffs. They can come across a team that has a bunch of really big 6'7", 6'8" type wings and guards mm-hmm. and forwards, and Shooter is just not physically up to dealing with that, which he could be. Like, he's shown he's actually really good in terms of that, but that's something he has to kind of know right away, that hey, we might experiment now, and we might experiment and most likely experiment in the playoffs when we need to make those adjustments. These are the things that just happen on this team that comes with being on a championship type team. This is at the Hawks, this yeah. is at the Thunder,
right?
These are the things that happen when you're on this team, and if you want to start on this team and sign an extension with this team, these are the things that are going to happen. So it could be a good like prepping for him to do this now instead mm-hmm. of just throwing him out of the rotation in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. The notion that, yeah, I mean, and I think it's a little easier for JaVale at this stage of his career, and yeah. even, you know, Dwight at that stage of his career to find themselves on the outside of the rotation looking in, because they have most of their career they're looking back on at this point. Schroeder's 27 years old and probably still feels like he has a lot to prove, and that becomes, you know, something easier to sell. But even still, like, one thing I think I really enjoy about the NBA in 2021 is that, like, winning is what gets guys paid. You know, it's not as simple as you're counting stats and then here's this outsized contract for being a good stats, bad team kind of guy. It's the Danny Greens of the world getting bigger contracts yeah. and for longer into his career, because teams know, yeah, this guy is just consistently on really, really good teams, and it isn't a coincidence. And so for somebody like Schroeder, maybe right now, because of how he is and how talented he is, he feels, and everybody around him and everybody basically knows, he should be a starting point guard. But on better teams, roles start shrinking. And this is a really, really good team. This is the best,
yeah.
I think, roster of my lifetime. And because of that, you're going to see guys playing smaller roles because of how good everybody else is around him or them. And I think in this case, now, I'm kind of curious. It sounds kind of like if they were to make a change like this amongst kind of their typical starting five, you might look elsewhere. Or do you just say, like, you know what, it's not, let's go ahead and just roll with this for most of the regular season. And the situations, whether it's injuries, COVID, rest, those are going to force changes on us anyway.
Yeah. Like I can't foresee, unless they just like struggle, but like, for as much as we did credit Vogel for making rotation changes, and even like last season, a lot of times at halftime, he would change his starting lineup, like to start the second half, he would make those adjustments to DB. I can't foresee like this happening unless they just really struggle. Mm-hmm. Like, that starting lineup wasn't very good, right? I remember, like, in terms of like last net year. Rating.
Oh yeah, man, it was so annoying. The whole year it was like, hey, can we just like try Dwight and not yeah. JaVale?
So if Vogel's not changing it then, and they have a starting lineup that's winning and they have a pretty good net rating, mm-hmm. I think it's going to have to take something pretty serious for him to tinker
yeah.
going into it. And remembering how he viewed last season, that starting lineup wasn't good, and he still stuck with them up until into the playoffs, really.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if there's any tinkering at all. But do you think it would be Shooter, or would it be a front court guy like Gasol?
Yeah, I've kind of gone back and forth on this one. I think so. It's 50-50, honestly, and I know this is just the best radio where you, it's a Darius it's a Darius question.
Like, yes and no.
Yeah, yes and no. So on one hand, if it's Schroeder, I think it makes the most sense in a basketball sense because you have guys that are just ready to move into that starting spot. And KCP was the starting point guard essentially for all of the playoffs last year and was fantastic.
Yeah,
in that role. And you know, and if you move Gasol, though, knowing AD doesn't want to play the five and knowing the disadvantage it puts Harrell right from the get-go, like, you're making your team worse by, I think, moving Gasol to the bench. I still think in theory you're making the team better by moving Schroeder to the bench, but like we talked about, I think it's a little bit more difficult politically speaking. So yeah, I would prefer it to be Schroeder. I mean, on it, the other thing too is at some point AD is going to have to, you know, play the five.
Like,
it's where he's the best at. It's like saying, you know, it's, that'd be Clayton Kershaw coming to you and saying, all right, I never want to throw my curveball. Never. Never going to throw it ever again. It's bad on my elbow. And you say, like, well, yes, technically it is bad on your elbow, but you become a significantly worse pitcher if you don't use one of your pitches, one of your stronger pitches. And so for AD, at some point, you know, he's, I don't think he'll ever start at the five, but could you start at the four with Harrell playing the five and ostensibly play like a four and a half out there? Can we get you, can we compromise on some midway zone or position that you could play it? I don't know. The more we talk about it, the more I hear myself talk about it out loud. I just don't see him tinkering.
Yeah. This seems like a playoff problem, right?
Yeah.
Like down the line. And I think it is, it is telling to how fortunate the Lakers are in terms of their roster. Like a guy like Gasol, a guy like Harrell, they may not play more than 10, 15 minutes in the playoffs. We don't know. Mm-hmm. They could, Gasol depends on the matchup, but against like Denver, Gasol may end up being huge in terms of guarding a guy like Jokic. And tonight we saw how well he did against Valanciunas. I thought this was like a highlight reel in terms of like, this is why we got Gasol.
Yeah.
These are the types of physical bodies we want him to defend and how he can be really good at it. And I thought today was a good example of that data collection, of that film collection, saying this can work against this physical being.
We now know this definitively. We got that.
I think we're still learning that about Harrell, though.
Yes.
I still don't know. Like, I haven't seen like, oh, that works against that team or that type of player. That's what I'm kind of still waiting for.
Yeah, he's an interesting fit, man. He really is. I think we're going to probably have to save the Harrell conversation for a later show, but yeah, there's been games where there have been stretches where he's just really popped, but there have, for the most part, been a lot of times where, and honestly, I think it goes back to what we talked about with AD not playing the five. If we saw AD playing legit five next to Harrell, I think we'd feel better about the combination, but until we see that, we're just kind of stuck wondering if that's, you know, because it's not like you're gonna not play AD in favor of optimizing Montrezl Harrell. That's not gonna happen. So how can you have it both ways a little bit more? I'm not sure. All right, that's gonna do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Alex, is there anything you want to plug before we get you out of here?
No, I do have a newsletter. I write about the Lakers. It's called throwdowns.substack. It's free. It comes out at least like about once a week. I'm working on something right now. But yeah, you can subscribe to that if you want to catch any more stuff.
And again, he's at Alex Regla, Alex M. Regla on Twitter as well. So check him out there. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm going to start having him on here a lot more often. So get used to that voice. And yeah, Pete will be back tomorrow so that we can go over some more of the stuff that Alex and I talked about and then look ahead to the games this weekend. Until then, have a great rest of your day. Meet somebody else's. I'll talk to you tomorrow.